I would like to note that my Easy Cheese is telling me that it's an excellent source of calcium.
Shut up and sit down.
Hello and welcome to episode 42 of Geek Grills, a podcast in which geeky women and sometimes guests gather to record topical conversation and then offer it to the masses. We are a wholly supported podcast. We are supported by our listeners, so feel free to support us at patreon.com/grills. Also, 42. Episode 42.
It's the answer.
Oh my gosh. Well, I am the Jen, and the one you're hearing right there is my co-host, September,
Hello
also
there.
Known as 9 of 12. Apparently, yeah, it's the answer podcast. I just realized that we are on episode 42.
Up on our
That's
year
kind of crazy.
Oh.
I know. I'm pretty excited about it. Like, I can't believe we've been doing this all year. Like, I love it. It's awesome. With that, I do have some news. So our other co-host, Lunescence, who's been with us since the beginning, has work and school, and if any of you know, she's been barely online to even play the games that she enjoys because she has just been so utterly busy. And then she's also trying to do some extra work for Fundage as well. So unfortunately, she just doesn't have the time in her schedule to commit to the Geek Girls podcast right now. But we're going to keep her end of show poem still, and we will miss her, but she has taken a step back from the podcast for right now. So thank you, Lunescence, for all of the wonderful episodes and all the work. And it'll be Ember and I for now. So, speaking of, Ember, what have you been up to?
Well, when I can, I try to watch TMS Live these days, and it's kind of exciting. It happened this month. They were looking for a new theme for, they do a like minute film contest every month, and they give away a bunch of cool prizes, and they were pre-show talking about what to theme it. And Brian Abbott had Scott, he's like, open the nearest book next to you, and the nearest book was one of Scott's own art books. So he opened it to this page that had like this giant ogre carrying a house with a bow on it, like a gift. And they were like, I don't know. And nobody was, and I just, while they were looking for another picture and just going to cheese it to not a random one, it popped into my head, Jen, when you grill our guests, sometimes the question comes up, like, what's the best gift you ever got? What's the worst gift you ever got? And so I put it in the chat and they grabbed onto it. So the TMS film contest this month, the theme is best and or worst gift.
Also, I was listening to this episode yesterday and I got all excited when I heard Brian go, yeah, and our theme this month is thanks to 9 of 12, who's one of the Geek Girls. And I went, oh, squee! I was like cooking.
I totally
squeed when I heard you getting mentioned on TMS. That's awesome.
Especially because when it happened in pre-show, Scott and Brian were like, oh, that's really cool. Thanks, dude. Or woman or whatever. And then Mikio was in the chat. He's like, that's one of the Geek Grills. Like, thanks for having my back.
Aw, good looking out, Mikio.
I sent Scott a custom-made Geek Grills glass, but I'm still just a random Borg. Oh, yeah, because they were like, man, woman, Borg, whatever, because of my name.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, when they announced it actually in the episode, they went ahead and they gave us a little boost. And it totally was a boost.
I love that.
We immediately got like 7 Facebook hits. Came into my email. So what else? I streamed my Anguro pack opening this week. I was going to wait for you, Jen, but you got out of work too late for me to do that in a school night. And I couldn't wait till the weekend. That wasn't going to happen.
I know. No, I respect. I get it. Me waiting that long was nuts. I was like, I could just do this on mobile. I could just do this.
And especially after I had already waited for hours, like it was supposed to come out, and then all the Angry Chicken folks were on and I was watching them on multi-twitch and waiting to watch theirs opening. And it took so long for all the servers to calm down and be usable that I had to go pick up the kids from school and miss most of that. But if you get a chance to go watch the VOD on my 9 of 12 Twitch, Fletcher came out and joined me. So, well, first I looked up and saw in my Twitch feed Fletcher behind me dancing around in his underwear. I'm like, Fletcher, you know I'm like live streaming, right?
Oh, God.
But then he went and got dressed, and I mean, you've heard him talk before. He helped you with the Pokemon stuff, right? He has his own little commentary about all the cards behind me. This kid should stream. I should just always have him when I live stream, because he was very entertaining.
Give me your streaming buddy. Also, to clarify, if we don't know what you're talking about, Hearthstone, new expansion is Journey to Un'Goro, and the expansion just launched on Thursday, and so we were all opening our packs.
I played some Rocket League with Cyrenex this week for part-time gamers. It's the off week where we do video gaming, and I chose Rocket League, which we're super terrible at. But it was lots of fun anyway. So, fish update. We went back, my son Victor went for a walk, trying to get in some time for phys ed, and that I have to log, which is another long story. And he texted me, I was out, he's like, oh my God, there's another fish in there. I'm like, what? I said, holy crap, we'll get a bucket, get it. And then he's like, there's another one. Holy crap, I think there's another one. So I was like, all right, just get a bucket and we're going to bail out the whole pond. It's like, I will give you 2 hours of phys ed that I log for your teacher if we get this whole pond bailed out. And I mean, this is I think it's a 220-gallon pond. So he's bailing and bailing. He found 7 more fish. So I treated them this week with...
So why are all these fish in here?
I think they at some point.
They just had a bunch of fish babies.
A couple
were
really big,
there? Like it's just
and then
nuts.
A bunch of them are really small. So yeah, they've just been back there living on algae and mosquitoes or something. But yeah, so we got all the fish, and then I treated them. It was like 5 days worth
of
pills in the tank. And getting them all treated for all kinds of diseases. And I ended up going on Facebook and using the sales page stuff. And a couple people with ponds said, I'll take them. So today I split up. I gave somebody 2 and I gave somebody 3. I delivered and took them to somebody's pond while they were at church. And then right before we started recording, another lady came and picked up a bucket with 3 more. And we are keeping 3. And they're all healthy now and happy. And I had to bail out and replace
a quarter
of the fish tank's water. That was lots of fun. We have 3. And the other 2 are in nice big ponds.
That's good.
So, yep. That's what I was doing this morning. So, yep.
I'd say that's a rescue success. Good job. Happy little fishies. What have you named the fishies? The 3?
We've only named 1 because it was the one we thought survived. It was going to be the only one, and it's the biggest one, and we did keep that one. And that one we named Doris after the woman who passed away who originally kept that pond.
That's right. Okay. Now the other 2 have yet to be named. I can't wait to hear what wonderful names they will get.
Yeah, pet naming this house is like the boys come up with stuff and I often go just roll my eyes and put the kibosh on, so we'll see how it works out.
That's what reminds me of like my childhood. Like when I was in first grade, my mom came home with my dog. And by the way, this dog became like my best friend because I didn't have siblings until I was older. So he was like my brother. Like that dog and I, very close. He was the best dog I've ever owned. But my mom and my stepdad come home with this mutt from the pound, this puppy. And of course my mom's like, yeah, look at this. And I'm so excited. And my stepdad's like, what do you think we should name it? And I'm like, we should name it Brownie. And of course my mom rolls her eyes because apparently, and this is like the story, like I hear the story all the time, but my mom, when they picked up the dog from the pound, they were like, well, what should we name it? Its name was like Lucky or something dumb. And my mom, my stepdad was like, well, we could just let Jen name it or Jennifer name it. And my mom was like, no, she'll name it something dumb like Brownie. And then sure enough, like, that is exactly what I wanted to name the dog. Which makes sense, because my first hamster had a stripe on its back, and I named it Striped. And then I had a fluffy hamster named Fluffy. And then I had a white fluffy hamster named Snowball.
So literal with names. They tried to name my cat. They wanted to name Bagheera Tom.
Yeah.
It was a boy.
Like Tom and Jerry?
He's like bluish.
Oh, gray. A tomcat.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's so silly. Naming is, but anyway, as an adult, it's really funny. When I get animals, I take a really long time to name them sometimes. And they'll like be like, well, doesn't it have a name? Not yet, no. And I just need to like feel its personality out.
Yeah.
And decide.
Can I tell you how we named our littlest cat, Lil?
No.
Lil is all white, and she's named after the World of Warcraft, Lil Timmy's kitten that you can buy from Lil Timmy once a day in Stormwind.
Oh, the pet!
But it's a girl, so we just use Lil.
That's adorable.
The kids were all over that. They went with that because Victor used to actually get up early in the morning and go to Stormwind and try and get the kitten for me for a while. That's how I ended up getting it.
Aww. That's adorable. Yeah. So in my little world, I also streamed my crack.
How many legendaries?
Party. I opened 68 packs. How many packs did you open? How many legendaries did you get?
I think I opened 57 and I got like 3.
Okay, so I opened 68 packs and I got 5 legendaries.
Good.
Addendum. 3 of them were the rogue quest.
Oh, jeez.
What the hell?
Wow, holy crap. Like, it's screwing up your pity
horrible.
Timer. While giving you doubles.
Yeah.
If you get a double, it should not reset your timer.
Yeah.
There we go. There's your
I know.
Answer.
I was very sad. It was very sad. Now, granted, I got a lot of hunter cards, and I got a couple goldens of some rare and epic raptors that I wanted, so that was great. All in all, I've been having a lot of fun. I've been playing my Dino Hunter deck and having fun with that. I did earn the new hero, because you can earn... Maeve, the Renew Rogue, by just winning 10 games in Standard. So I did that. And I've been having fun with my Hunter. So I did get some good cards. I didn't have to make anything with Dust to make
That's
my Hunter
awesome.
Deck. So
I
that was
really
great.
I haven't really had time to play. I've only played...
Yeah.
Oh, I played 5 games, but I won all 5 in a row. I took my Aggro Pally and just added some new cards, took out old cards, made it Standard instead of Wild, and it's kicking ass.
Hooray! I know, I'm excited to maybe hope the Paladin can do something fun. I have been having a tough time dealing with some rogues on the ladder, though, all of a sudden, because that rogue quest is good, so maybe I should make a rogue deck with... You know, I did get 3 copies of the rogue quest, so maybe I'll make a rogue deck, I don't know. I don't normally play rogue, but I'm thinking I might give it a shot. So I've been also playing a lot of D&D. Holy crap. So I made a new character for our campaign that's kind of restarting today. And then I also have been playing in the Friday night one at the game store. And I've been playing my bard. And I actually got to viciously mock a creature to death. And that was quite fun. And then I bought some paint for some models. So that was cool. Also, oh my god, I hate that name. Like, Warma Hordes is a really dumb name. But War Machine and Hordes got really cool in the last 8 years since I haven't been playing. So I pulled out my old stuff and I got a Hordes faction because they were having a 20% off sale on the battle boxes. So I did a couple weeks ago pick up a battle box, which I'm now excited to get to paint. And then I might actually go and play with some minis at the game store. So I'm pretty excited about that. It's pretty cool. So yeah, that's what I've been doing. Preparing to paint, I guess. With that being said, I think it is time for the Geek Grapevine. So,
today, I was reading that the U.S. Department of Labor has claimed that Google displays systemic compensation disparities, and Google struck back. They are very upset. They completely deny such a thing. Said, "We vehemently disagree with Ms. Whipper's claim. Every year we do a comprehensive and robust analysis of pay across genders, and we have found no gender pay gap. Other than making an unfounded statement, which we heard for the first time in court, the Department of Labor has not provided any data or shared its methodology." So I am curious to see how this plays out. Of all the companies where you would expect those accusations, it seems unlikely that Google would have a big pay gap. I mean, given their whole philosophy.
Yeah, like Google, Apple, I wouldn't expect either of those companies to
have
pay gaps
across
gender.
I mean, we know the gap in general exists in tech companies. Yeah, but
sure.
I think more in tech professions than specific companies. I wonder if the Department of Labor is targeting Google for the face and the...
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Like, I want more people to read
and
this.
I mean, that's fine, and we'll see how it plays out in court at this point.
Absolutely.
Google's got their lawyers on it, and if the discrepancy is found, they will have to correct it, because it will be against labor discrimination laws that already exist. And if they find there isn't any, I feel confident that Google, who wants to be the good guys, excuse me, and tries, I think, does a decent job most of the time, will probably call attention to data that shows where discrepancies do exist, and it might help us improve fair labor standards in the long run. That's my hope.
Absolutely. I mean, that's always the goal,
yeah.
Right? Absolutely. Yeah. So it looks like we've got some answers on the
yeah,
Leia front.
It's been kind of back and forth. We didn't know what they were going to do. Like, how much would they have to change the story? We knew that for episode 9 that there was some filming that was already done. Because of the timing of her death, people were immediately freaking out that they were just going to try and, you know, digitize her for the whole thing. And they said, no, we're not going to do that. But the family, Carrie Fisher's family, has given permission to Disney to use the footage that already exists. And apparently they are going to, rather than just completely take her out, they will go ahead and put the footage that they do have in somehow to maintain the legacy. So I'm glad they've gone to this effort.
I'm glad that they, and I'm also glad that the family agreed, because I think Carrie would have been fine with that.
So there is an article about this we will link that I found on Nerdist.
That's cool. Absolutely. And I've got an article from Geek Girl Authority just talking about, I always mispronounce his name. Manganiello. God, I can't pronounce that word. That's hard. So, you know, he's a nerd. We know that. He's been doing all kinds of nerd stuff. But he has a script in the works, he said, and apparently it's Dungeons & Dragons, and hoping to get it on the big screen and possibly franchising it. So, apparently there was a creative summit that he held with Wizards of the Coast, So this could actually be like a real thing, and that's pretty exciting. So just again, just a little tease out there, so, but interesting.
I guess I've never seen pictures.
I don't know. I just hope like
when I read about stuff he's doing, I don't see pictures in the same place. That's El Cid, right? Like, cool.
Yes.
I didn't have the two connected in my head that, like, that hottie werewolf is
a bear. So, like, wow. He's also been in, I mean, all kinds of nerd projects, but yes.
It seems like I've always been reading about it in different contexts and didn't connect.
For our listeners, this is a True Blood connection. A vampire porn connection.
Yeah, he's a werewolf in True Blood.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, so kind of interesting. That could be really cool, and I'm excited to see where that goes. I think that could be fun. That gets us into our main discussion today. So I wanted to talk about crazy fad diets, mostly because, you know, trying to get healthy, trying to get back on track, trying to get back into following my own diet that I have worked on with a nutrition coach, and I've been kind of lazy about it. And then I was reflecting on some of the crazy things that I have even done to try to get healthy or whatever, and there are some crazy diets out there. And I always like to think of me getting on my diet is not necessarily me getting on a diet, but just enforcing a healthier eating regimen. I like to say that. But just a PSA, you know, if these diets have worked for you, your doctor has advised you to be on them, I mean, sure. But we are just kind of trying to approach this with a lighter note of, you know, we do some crazy things in an attempt to get healthy. So this is intended to be that conversation on a lighter note. So hopefully we could just, you know, take that with a grain of salt. Sure, there's probably some science here, there, and everywhere. But so that being said, let's start with what is a diet?
Those of us that struggle with our weight, I can see where it'd be easy to fall prey to some crazy things because you get desperate and a lot of it comes from wanting immediate results is, you know, being a human. yeah.
Instant gratification.
I mean, a diet is diet. Diet is what you eat. Everything you eat. You can have a diet of just potato chips. That's your diet. But diet should be a very holistic approach to just how you eat. And overhauling that. And that's like, you know, good nutritional plans do that. I spoke to my insurance company in research for this. And I want to let you know, those of you that don't, go ahead and call your insurance company and check. You may, depending on the context, need a referral from your doctor. You may not if it's done in office. But if you really want to just change the way you eat, actually just improve your diet rather than going on a diet, to try and, you know, get healthier or lose weight, I mean, or gain weight, depending on your goals. I would recommend doing that. I guess I'm a bit hypocritical because I haven't done it yet. But I have spoken with my doctor about this sort of thing in the past because low-calorie diets don't work well for me, and I ended up sick and anemic trying to just reduce what I ate.
They don't for a lot of women, because your body is a baby maker and you're trying to starve it, and then your body's
so
like,
just the whole
what the hell are you
going
doing
on a diet, I think can be detrimental, because whenever you get let down, you give up, you know, or I'm dieting as if it's temporary. I think we would all be well served to, you know, change the culture of it to I am seeking to improve my diet, or I'm just staying within the parameters of, you know, how I eat, instead of this, oh no, I'm cheating or trying crazy, you know, fad diets, which are funny things we'll talk about today. Wow. I was looking at some of these and I'd heard of some before, but never really read about what they actually were. I'm really glad I haven't fallen. I don't know.
It's crazy to reread some of the ones that I've done and be like, when did I decide that that was something to try? But I think you're right. I think that a lot of that comes from a desperation. But I agree. So many people don't know that their insurance covers nutritionists or dietitians or those conversations. And there's a lot that can be served with having that conversation. You know, I had a nutritionist that said, you know what? Low calorie isn't good for you. And that's where we got me. I have to be on a low carb, high protein mix, and I have to eat 6 times a day, and I have all this crazy, it's specific, because I have a lot of particular challenges. But you know, for those of you that maybe don't have quite so many particular challenges, that's fine. But you know, go see a nutritionist and you could be surprised what you can learn about, how changing, again, I really like the word regimen, changing your eating regimen, can impact your health. And, you know, and definitely it's a good idea to want to get healthy. But like you said, a lot of these fad diets, this is about, it's about instant gratification. It's about how to lose 50 pounds in 2 months, or how to lose 16 pounds in 2 weeks by not eating anything but a pretzel. Like, it's really kind of crazy. But that's why we wanted to kind of talk about it and you know, make light on it.
I think the demonization years and years ago of calories in general has fed into all these crazy ideas being developed. I mean,
or fat.
There are people that don't understand the struggle some people have with losing weight, that are like, well, it's just simple, eat less, because calories go in, calories come out, and like, it's just science, and you need to either burn more or, you know, eat less. And that doesn't take any nutritional things into account. And that's why these fad diets sometimes will work for like losing a shitload of weight or water really fast. And then people think that's effective, but it's not that simple.
Well, it's funny because, like, you know, I like, it's nuts. Like, my man friend was like, you barely eat anything. He's like, you eat so little. And yet, like, I watch him eat like 6 donuts that are jelly filled. Not actually, I'm exaggerating. But he'll be like, oh, look, a jelly filled donut. And then I'm going to chase that with, you know, a Powerade full of sugar. And then I'm going to eat this other, you know, and it's like he doesn't gain a pound. And then I'm like, oh, I watched you eat that and I gained 20. Thanks. Like, it's really, it's frustrating. And I think that's part of the, at the end of the day, is that it really is about understanding your body's needs, your particular makeup. That's like, I don't know if you remember the food pyramid a couple of years ago, they went through a revamp because the original food pyramid used to say, oh, this is what everybody needs to eat, you know? But the reality is that that wasn't accurate. So they changed that and said, no, now it's the iFood pyramid, where it's, you need to kind of identify based on age and gender and amount of exercise and things like that. And that's going to affect how, what your food pyramid looks like. And I think that it is much more complicated. You know, my grandfather used to always say, you just have to eat like a bird, or hang out with one of your skinny friends and eat what they eat. Like, that was always what he would say. He's like, just eat the same amount they do. And it's like, I eat less than they do, or the same amount that they do. Like, I'm not at home, like, scarfing down tubs of like frosting for fun, you know? It's one of those things where, again, we have some particular challenges, and that's why I do work with a nutrition coach, and some of my diet stuff sounds like it's a fad diet, you know, of course, because I eat mostly paleo, but, you know, people are like, oh, paleo, but you know what? I don't think it is, and it works for me, so I'm, whatever, I like it. all that aside, yeah, there's some crazy diets out there. Holy shit. Yeah, so there's, Ember found this great article from Huffington Post that just, from HuffPo that just, like, goes through, a list, and I think we should definitely just go through this list, because some of these are just
yeah,
crazy.
I've seen a lot of talk about this raw food diet. This is number one on their list here of diets you should absolutely never try. Of course, you know, boosting your veggies and fruits, that sounds great. That sounds like common sense, right? And all your food people, like, oh, I've seen a lot of this recently. Like, it destroys all the nutrients when you cook food. There was a paleo guy I was watching on Facebook making it a broccoli soup. And, you know, he cooked it down and blended it to avoid putting cream in it or whatever to make it creamy. And they're like, you ruined the food. And, like, you kept all the cooking water in there. You didn't, like, drain it, you know, into a gray paste. But, yes, sometimes nutrient levels can be reduced. But there's...
I mean, it will also, like, fiber. I don't know how fiber works. Like, the roughage aspect.
Well, insoluble fiber doesn't... Is it reduced by cooking? It's insoluble that way.
That's true.
Sometimes, and this is something people probably do know, like lycopene comes to mind, is released by cooking. Like tomatoes, they get more nutrition by cooking. So there are plenty of cases of that happens.
Also, I'm not a bunny. Fuck that diet. Sorry. I tried
well,
it
and
once.
It was weird. Disincentive to constantly be preparing and peeling and cutting and, you know...
I got so tired of chewing that I just stopped eating.
Okay, that...
No, I'm serious. Like, my mouth hurt. Like, because you're just constantly... Yes, I did. And you're just, like, eating... I felt like I was just eating salads all the time. And it was just, like, so much chewing. Like, I was just doing so much chewing to get my food.
I can imagine. I have TMJ, getting terrible headaches trying to just chew all that. And juicing... I mean, whatever. I can only do so many smoothies and stuff.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's true.
Okay. Next on the list is alkaline diets.
Yeah. Sure. I mean, pH levels are important, right?
Sure. This is very, very restrictive.
Yeah, you cut out meat, dairy, sweets, caffeine, alcohol, artificial and processed foods, and consume more fresh fruits and veggies, nuts and seeds. So again, now we're not a bunny, we're a rat. We get to have nuts and seeds in addition to our vegetables and fruits.
And frankly, your body adjusts your pH.
I'm basically going to compare all of these to how I fed rodents that have lived in my house. Sorry.
But there's no research that provides... pH affects your weight at all. Your body already adjusts your pH. It's too hard. It's not a good idea. I don't understand why people are just so quite this desperate to. I think they put it well at the beginning of the article that like fad diets kind of take a few foods, give them magic power, and set a plan to convince people that eating this way and only this way will promote weight loss. Alkaline diet seems to fit exactly into that category. It is a magic thing, like the whole superfoods thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, like, this next one, the blood type diet, I own this book. I think you said you do, too.
I do.
And I don't know, maybe there's some stuff to it, but... as a type, as a, my, I get an A plus on my blood test in case you're wondering. So as a type A dieter, I'm supposed to go vegetarian. So, and like the things that I should cut out are what's recommended for blood type B. So I don't know.
Yeah. I think I got this book in one of those, you know, like I joined a book club. So I got it with a whole bunch of books for $1 and, I read it, and as I read it, I mean, issues I do have with, you know, gastrointestinal reflux and did fall into what my blood type was supposed to be a problem. I thought about it. I was like, I did feel a lot better in general when I was vegetarian, and I thought maybe there's something to that. Because apparently you and I are the same blood type, so I ran into this. I can't give up eggplant. That's not happening. But...
No, it's not going to happen. I love eggs. I'm sorry. I eat eggs 90% of my... Oh, eggplant?
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Do,
that's
like,
fair.
Like all nightshades.
I like
so
eggs.
Tomatoes, eggplant, like... Yeah, not all the time.
No, bullshit.
And there's basically... There's just no research to show that this thing works. I know there was some cited in the book. So, Who knows? Maybe something will come of this.
Yeah, it's hard.
I didn't think it to be
and...
as extremely restrictive as many fad diets, though. I mean, to me, it was easy substitutions if I were going to do this.
Sure, sure. This one is probably one of the lesser offensive
like,
diets
it didn't
as
do
far
anything.
As how unhealthy
it didn't suggest
it
anything
is.
That was going to make you nutrient deficient, from what I read.
Now, this one, the werewolf diet, part of the reason... Okay, so this one involves fasting according to the lunar calendar. So you have a day of fasting, allowing only water and juice during a full or new moon. So here's the thing, is that you're going to basically... You're going to lose because you're, like, not eating on some days. But the problem is that when you lose weight... Like, this has been scientifically shown, that when you lose weight, because you're creating such a... A quite frankly unhealthy caloric deficit.
Yeah,
you'll gain that right back. It comes right back. It's not sustainable weight loss. And well, the werewolf diet, I think, falls right into that category because you're just like, nope, not eating. And so, yeah.
And with a vengeance, because your body goes into starvation mode.
Absolutely. And then as women, as we talked about, as I mentioned before, your job is to be a baby factory. And so your body and your hormones are specifically like, oh my God, you're starving us. And then it gets even worse. That's why women do tend to have a harder time losing weight than men, because our bodies freak the fuck out when we change our eating habits.
Yep. So cookie diets. There's a bunch of cookie diets. Now, these aren't, like, wolfing down cookies.
I just want to eat cookies all day. That sounds great.
Yeah. I mean, these are, like, high fiber, you know, high protein weight loss cookies, whatever. But this is, like, breakfast, lunch, snacks, and then you just eat dinner. This sets you...
So, basically, what you're saying is that we should just have snacks and then eat a dinner?
Yeah. I mean, even if this ends up nutritionally sound, does this seem like the worst habit you could possibly develop to maintain in the long term?
That's the thing, is that none of these have any long-term effects. Like, that's, I think, the big key here, is that the longevity of it, like, the long-term part, it just isn't there.
I think looking at any diet, you have to really consider, like, can I... eat this way the rest of my
life.
This
is you saying you're a kid and you want to eat... Right, and you're basically like, I'm a kid and I like cookies, so I'm going to do a cookie diet. Okay. How about we just try to change our relationship with food and make better decisions and be an adult?
And they point out, like, binging idea, and I totally see that. Seriously. You had nothing but a couple cookies all day long, and then you get to have a normal dinner. How normal do you think that dinner is going to be? Or are you just going to pig out?
Oh, I'm going to have a salmon over a bed of jasmine rice with a light salad. And bullshit, I'm going to have some Wingstop with a full order of french fries. Because I eat cookies all day, so I can. Oh my God, the 5-bite diet, come on.
Yeah, you can eat whatever you want, but only 5 bites of it.
Goes to the store, buys 15 cheesecakes.
And this is apparently
hooray!
Developed by an obesity doctor. So, yeah. I think taking that into account, it might make a little more sense. I mean, when you're trying to bring somebody down from 600 pounds to, you know, 400 so they can get surgery.
Sure, and we're trying to help them understand that, look, you can eat what you want. You just need to understand better portions. And that's true, because there are some serious,
like,
issues.
But it's, like way too, I think, extremely low-calorie,
sure.
At risk of definitely nutritive problems for anybody that just has, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40 pounds to lose. This would be a terrible idea.
Again, I think we need to also get to a place where we're saying, okay, we're trying to create a healthier relationship with food. And I think I mentioned this a little bit on a personal level when we've talked about it. When I started doing the paleo diet a year ago, I did a fast first. Or not a fast, but I did like a very strict cleanse as what is what it was. Is I really restricted during those 2 weeks. I drank only water or green tea, one cup of black coffee a day, no sugar, no preservatives, no nothing. It was very, very simplistic eating. It was no processed foods was really the big piece of that. But I ate a lot of eggs. I ate a lot of, I did have some vegetables, you know, vegetables with almond butter or hard-boiled eggs. I had some different recipes that were just, you know, basically like chicken different, again, really restricted. And then I went into paleo. So that kind of helped me cleanse my palate, because that 2 weeks, I'm not going to lie, the fourth or fifth day of that, I thought I was going to die. Like, I felt like a zombie. But then about 2 or 3 days later of feeling like a zombie, I couldn't believe it. I had this clarity and this clearness in my body that was so different. Like, I just felt so much different. And that helped me transition into my paleo eating regimen that, I was working on all this with a nutritionist and a nutrition coach. But the point that I really want to highlight here is that what it did for me is it changed my relationship to food. Because I eat when I'm hungry, I eat when I'm sad, I eat when I'm happy, I eat when I'm bored, I eat when I'm, you know, like, oh, are you an emotional eater? And it was like, yes, and I'm human, and I'm feeling emotions all the time, so I'm eating all the time. No. like that's...
Well, I think also, though, in that instance, I had a fast I used, and it wasn't like, it was a ramping down and then ramping back up into normal food over the course of 14 days that I had done a few times. And that clarity that you describe and being able to change your regimen afterward, I think probably has a lot to do with resetting exactly. All the hormones and chemical reactions.
100%. Too. And then the other thing was for me was the mental change, because I realized, okay, I'm feeling hungry about the time I'm supposed to be eating my next snack. Because again, it was all very snack based. And what was interesting is I kind of had that moment of saying, okay, I eat when I'm hungry. I eat to put fuel into my body. Food is fuel. And that like little epiphany for me was very meaningful. And I feel like these fad diets, what they're missing is any potential long-term change. They're just, like you said, get it now, get it quick. Like, the one that comes to mind is the lemonade diet, the Master Cleanse. I totally did this one. Did you do this one?
No.
Oh my God, I did. I did. I drank
anything
lemonade.
Like that
is, it was horrible.
Looked, like, ridiculous to me. Sorry.
Oh no, I did it, and it was intense. I think the most intense part was the things that were coming out of my body the first 72 hours of that.
Oh,
But holy shit, literally. But yeah, it was like not even food. I was like, I couldn't even function. I had to stop because like I literally got sick. Like I couldn't even go to work or like do anything.
Wow.
It's horrible. But yeah, again, it came back down to like, oh, I need something, you know, I need to do something. And it, again, it comes back down to like that, that desperation, I think, I where you're just like, I've got to do something.
Yeah, not helping our relationship with food to try these things, I think.
Exactly.
So the baby food diet.
Gross. Guess what? You won't want to eat because it's all fucking mashed and gross.
Yeah, and I don't understand. I don't even understand. Well, a lot of this, do you see a pattern here where they say replace breakfast and lunch with stuff and then go ahead and eat whatever you want for dinner?
Yeah. Don't you remember the Slim Fast commercials? You have a Slim Fast fake for breakfast and lunch and then a reasonable dinner. Oh, no, I'm sorry.
This
a
is
sensible
not reek
dinner.
Of, not only is it going to make you want to binge at dinner, but late at night before you go to bed. Or, like, last meal of the day is the worst time to binge.
Really be, The opposite. You should be having, what do they say? You should eat like a king at breakfast, a queen at lunch, and a pauper at dinner or whatever. There's like that old one. But the idea is that you should actually eat your biggest meal the day in the morning when you're breaking your fast from sleep.
I don't. This is silly.
Yeah, I agree.
No.
Did you ever do the cabbage soup diet? I did that one too.
No, that's another, just the name of it. I'm like,
oh, yeah, dude, I've been overweight since I was like 12. I was overweight and undiagnosed polycystic for since I was 12. So of course, like my parents were always like, they, you know, my overweightedness, I don't think that's a word, but my health was a reflection on them as parents. So at their two different houses, they both had different approaches for how to try to help me lose weight. So I did all kinds of stupid ass diets because, like, I think they felt that was a reflection of them.
Closest I think I came, and I was thin then. There was a point where I was living with my uncle and taking care of my cousins, and we just didn't really have any money. So there was a lot of soup with just a lot of cabbage and sometimes some ground beef in it. Like, I did eat that way for a few months, but not intentionally. I wasn't dieting. We were just poor.
Yeah, I've been there. In college, for sure. But I will say that this one, is, you know, the idea isn't terrible, because the idea is that you're eating, you know, vegetables and things like that, and that's great. But the problem is that you've cut out completely the things that we do need for our bodies. Like, you can't cut carbs out completely. You need to have carbohydrates. You need to have healthy fats, and you need to have protein. And you're not getting enough of that with these kind of things. Oh God, the grapefruit diet. Oh my God.
Closest I've ever done is the...
Yes, I did.
I like grapefruit.
My dad likes grapefruit, so we tried it.
Closest I've come is just, I've seen other, you know, more just suggesting having a grapefruit every day, helping boost your metabolism, you know, like going ahead and having grapefruit for breakfast every day is the closest I have ever come to this sort of thing.
I will say grapefruit does have some good stuff in it, as do a lot of citrus. Like, I put lemon essential oil in my water that I drink every day because it's good for your brain. But also I put grapefruit oil and a couple other things in my tea because it is good for metabolism. And other things. So that part is actually kind of true, is based on some truth.
Yeah.
But this is crazy. No, that's not, you're starving yourself. You're literally starving yourself. Now, I can also say I did not do this next one.
This one is just alarming. Holy.
Yeah, I didn't do this one.
I had never heard of this before looking up this article, but yeah, the Sleeping Beauty Diet. So, like, rumored to be followed by Elvis Presley, which, so you know it works, because he didn't get fat or anything. This diet...
Oh my God.
...encourages people to use sedatives to stay asleep for days on end.
Well, guess what? You're not eating if you're just sleeping. Hey, you know what else is really good for that? Heroin. Why don't you just go take some heroin?
Or just, that'll, you know, fine. Dying. Because this is actually risking dying.
Wait. Yeah. I mean, let's do it. Sedatives. Nothing bad has ever happened from people becoming addicted to sedatives.
No. It's like...
Now, this one, the HCG diet, I gotta mention, you know, I just want to make it clear. Everybody thinks that these fad diets are a newer thing. This has been around for a long time.
Oh, yeah, the grapefruit
time.
One. This is 80 years.
Actually, yeah, the grapefruit one is a long, long time. But the HCG diet got started in the 1950s. And again, I think a lot of that starts with, like, you know, women trying to make sure that they're, you know... But yeah, this one is, you're eating 500 calories a day, and then you're injecting yourself with HCG, which is the hormone isn't that what you search for when you're doing a pregnancy test? Isn't the same hormone?
For what? Sorry. I got...
Pretty sure it is. For when you're testing for pregnancy.
Yes.
It's HCG.
Yes. And how the hell do you get...
From a doctor.
Prescribed it.
Because this is healthy.
Oh my God.
Gross. How about the tapeworm diet? You want to put a parasite in your body? Do it.
Yeah, that's a diet, not an ailment or a parasite. Gross. And where do you get that? What is wrong with people?
gross. Not a good idea because it can migrate to various parts of your body or cause other potentially life-threatening problems.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it will eat you. Eggs can go other places. Like, oh,
What
God.
about the cotton ball diet?
Okay,
This one
yeah,
sounds
this
really
one
healthy.
is another one I had never heard of before and was just like, who? Okay, I'm sorry. I know people get desperate and you try some things. And but yeah, soak a cotton ball in some orange juice and just eat that. And you'll get all full and be fine. God, what? Who thinks this is a good idea?
Yeah, cotton balls aren't even made out of cotton.
Right? Oh.
And they sometimes have, they get treated too, a lot of times, don't they?
Yeah,
Does the
but they're.
article say that? I haven't read it. Hold on. I didn't read this section of the article. Let's see.
It's like, is this a pica
Yeah,
diet?
see? Okay. Yep, this is terrible. Yeah, this is a good diet. Oh my gosh. Okay, so. All in all, what I'm trying to say is that I wanted to talk about this because I'm just, again, I'm trying to move back into my eating regimen. So I've been, thinking a lot about diets and reflecting on my own ridiculous, apparently I've tried a lot of them, diets that are out there. But I think the big thing to take away from this is one, consult your doctor. You have a doctor, see them, talk to them. Maybe you can even get a referral to a nutritionist or, a dietitian because that is valuable to learn more about it. There is science involved. There's chemical reactions and things that happen in our bodies that are affected by the food that we eat. Hormones are very complex. So again, each person has individual dietary needs. But yeah, the quick fixes. They're just that. They're a quick fix. And then, what they say is that, what is it? People not only gain back what they lost, but they actually end up gaining more because they, again, like you said, they create
And
those
I
unhealthy
mean, some of them you
habits.
can just hurt yourself. And don't be afraid to do your own research.
Absolutely.
And while you talk to your diet, because or to before you talk to your doctor, and after you talk to your doctor, and maybe seeing more than one doctor, or just if the doctor's not, if you're not communicating well, ask to see a nutritionist, and they might have a better answer. I mean, I know there are. I've heard from doctors
I
just.
mean,
Well, just eat less and exercise more. And then, I was happily surprised when I talked to my doctor when I was anemic and I got really sick. And, I was eating like 1,200 calories a day and I wasn't losing weight. I was just getting sick. And he suggested a low carb diet, asked me if I had tried Atkins, which I had, and I had successfully lost 65 pounds on years and years before, but then I didn't stay on, didn't keep that regimen going, and that's another diet that gets a bad reputation as a fad because of the way the induction phase works, but it has evolved and there is science behind it, and it made me feel really confident about my, decisions going forward and how I could modify things. When I got backup from my doctor, I mean, don't just seek out a doctor that's going to back up whatever stupid fad you find. But if one is just outright trashing something that you have found
and I'll try to find an
scientific
echo
backing
chamber.
for, consider a second opinion.
I mean, I had to go get a second opinion when 2 years ago, 2.5, no, I guess it was more like 3 years ago now, I hadn't had any changes in my weight. I'd been maintaining my weight for years. Granted, heavy, but maintaining it. And I gained 40 pounds over 6 months. And I went to my doctor and I was like, nothing has changed. And they were like, oh, just need to watch what you're eating. And I'm like, nothing has changed.
Yeah, I had years and years of being
And I
told.
said, I had to say, like, this is not okay. Like, there's something wrong. And I went to another doctor, and sure enough, I had a thyroid issue.
Exactly. That's I figured you were going to say, because the same thing happened to me. I had years and years of them saying, well, no, your TSH is in normal range. It's in normal range. No, it's not your thyroid. No, it's not your thyroid. Despite what I felt were other symptoms also of having hypothyroidism. So I, you know, did some more of my own research. I went to see an endocrinologist, and they do a different test instead of just, you know, your levels. And when you have actual thyroid disease, and an endocrinologist will test you for the antibodies, and it turns out, yeah, it was part of my immune. And that was the thing that tipped me off, because I have autoimmune disorder, and my body was attacking my eye, and it was attacking my joints, and it seemed to be hormonally triggered. Like, I would monthly flare up really bad, like my limbs would be falling asleep from my joints swelling up right before my time of the month. And I was like, there's a hormonal component. And I even had my OBGYN at the time telling me, no, no, it can't be that. But the endocrinologist was like, yeah, indeed. You have the antibodies, your immune system is attacking your thyroid, and so your TSH levels don't need to be in normal range. They need to be much higher than that. And going on thyroid hormones since then, all the flare-ups from my immune system, my autoimmune disease have been so much less. I haven't had to go to a rheumatologist for a few years.
So at the end of the day, if we could sum up anything that we've done here, is one, please don't get offended. We're just kind of laughing at some of the, we've got to make light on this, because again, it's a struggle that obviously both Ember and I experience. but you know what?
I'm sitting here eating like a pouch of lemon pepper seasoned tuna.
That sounds delicious. but the most important thing is consult your doctor, be reasonable, do your research. And if it sounds too good to be true, it's probably too good to be true. You can't buy weight loss in a bottle. Sorry. It's nutrition and it's exercise. At the end of the day, that's that.
I want to point out that not every person belongs on the ideal weight, ideal BMI. Some people are just healthier at different weights. And that is something more and more science is backing up at being what is considered overweight is not necessarily unhealthy, so don't judge people for that either.
Yeah, you can be skinny fat. There are a lot of people that have really terrible cholesterol issues who are very thin. So absolutely, 100%, 100%. And this is, and not every diet's going to work for everybody either. It's not a one size fits all. But they say it's 80% nutrition, 20% exercise, and a lot of times nutrition just means making good choices and not trying to go for some crazy ass cookie perfection. Holy shit. Cookie cutter perfection is what I meant, but the cookie diet came to mind.
It's okay. I think we determined the cookie diet is stupid.
Yes, agreed. So on that note, Ember, what are you looking forward to? What are you anticipating right
cookies,
now?
Cookies, I'm going to go get some. No. I'm looking forward to, I'm going to go over to the game shop when they open Monday. And hopefully somebody over there has Eldritch Horror and maybe arrange a game, because I don't have it and I'm supposed to be reviewing it next week on part time. And today
awesome.
I'll be making my D&D character for the campaign that Jen and I are playing in. I'm really excited about the new adventure. It's nice that Rob doesn't have to spend every free moment building. I mean, his original stuff has been great. But my husband Rob is our DM, and it has been taxing to create all the maps from scratch, the whole world from scratch, all the stories from scratch. And we almost switched to Pathfinder so we'd have a bunch of material we already owned. But a couple of the guys pitched in, PayPal'd me the money, and we bought an adventure, and we're starting over, but we're doing like actual licensed D&D adventures, which I don't know if I've ever actually done in my life. So I'm curious to see how that goes.
Yeah, me too. So I've been doing so much schoolwork. I'm looking forward to getting results on my writing test. So I took my essential academic skills exams for school, and I passed the reading and the math, but the writing obviously has a written component, so I haven't gotten that test result yet. So I'm hoping to get those this week. Oh, I'm nervous. I'm excited about playing my gnome wizard in D&D, so that's going to be fun. And bunnies. So my man friend, his niece has a birthday on Easter. She does 4-H. She wanted bunnies. Lo and behold, I helped find bunny. Picking up the bunnies today. I say bunnies because the person who had the bunny was also like, I've got her sister who's all black and really cute. And I'm like, oh, that is really cute.
Okay.
And I don't have
No.
rats anymore. So I read an article about how I can convert my dog's puppy crate that he's not using anymore into a rabbit cage. So I've done that, and I'm going to be getting a pet
Okay, good.
bunny.
You're not just doing the, irresponsible, everybody get a bunny for Easter
Yes.
bullshit. You're responsible pet owner, 4-H. Awesome.
No. It also is funny because it wasn't an Easter bunny situation for her either. She's been wanting a bunny for like a year or like 9 months because she's been doing 4-H. It just happens that her
Right
birthday
on.
is on Easter. So, but the good news is they're adorable bunnies, and I will share pictures as soon as I get them. But so I'm gonna go do that today, pick up the bunnies, and then
I wanna.
yeah, Patreon. I mentioned it at the top, but what?
I wanted to apologize to everyone because I don't think I'm going to be able to edit out all that noise. My family is not yet used
That's
to our
fine.
new recording time and day, so they've been going in and out of the damn loud door behind me. And I'll tell you the funny bit is I just Fletcher, the last time he came through, closing the door, he walked through behind me covering his ears like that was going to make him quieter. I don't
Yes, that's how it works though. That's exactly how it works. No, it's fine. I you know what? It's fine. It's real. I like real in our podcast. That's fine. So I know I mentioned the top of the show, but just as a reminder, we are wholly supported by Patreon. You can support us at patreon.com/grills. Your feedback is always loved and welcome. Please share with us. And don't forget, you get a free game code when you sign up on Patreon for the first month. So, sign up there, get a free game code, help us help you by creating our awesome show. Yes.
Yes, we certainly do
Yay.
appreciate that. We've got expenses going out, not coming in right now. We
Yeah,
would love to
exactly.
have
Help us.
your reviews on iTunes, or just click on a star and give us some stars.
I love it. So where can everybody find you on the interwebs?
I can be reached at 9 of 12 on Twitter, and you can hear me on the Part Time Gamers podcast.
I can be found at The Jen Says on Twitter and streaming at twitch.tv/TheJenPlays. So give me a follow there. I hope to be doing a little bit more recording there soon. I did do some last week, but hopefully there'll be more of that coming in the future. And thanks for listening, everyone. Good game.
Good game. GG.
GG. Well played.
If you enjoyed the show and have the quill skill to shriek speech, leave us a 5-star unique critique on iTunes or thrill us with the size of your handbill by spilling goodwill into our tills at patreon.com/grills. We can also be found windmilling around Facebook and YouTube at facebook.com/geekgrills and youtube.com/geekgrills, where we like to chill. Tweet your siren songs where the throngs belong on Twitter at geekgrills, where we're dressed to kill. For more info on the show, though, go to geekgrills.com, where you can find previous episodes, show notes, and current contest information. Send us your psalms and qualms to geekgrills@gmail.com or give us a ring at 508-474-5577, where we can hear your lovely voice sing the zing thing. Thanks for listening.